not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
Luke chapter 16, and a horrible place called hell. Luke chapter 16, and we want to look at verse 19 through 31. Now you understand that many people in our society, they do not believe in a hell. You understand that the world mocks at hell, laughs at hell. Some even think that hell is going to be a great party when they get there. We've already prayed. Let's look at Luke chapter 16. We want to read verses 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good thing, thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, the very mention of hell in our society and in many churches will give you different reactions. Some people react with great concern. Some people are moved to share Jesus with the lost. Others react with fear and come to Jesus seeking salvation for their own souls. Some would even seek to deny the existence of hell. We see that predominantly in our culture. And yet, God and Jesus declare hell to be a very real place, Psalm 9:7, as early as that in the Old Testament. And of the 162 references in the New Testament, 70 of those references come from Christ himself. And when people attempt to deny the doctrines of hell, there are three basic approaches. They come to hell and the subject by rationalizing it. Well, rationalism says, well, there is no God, therefore there can be no hell. Charles Darwin said that this is a damnable doctrine. But as Romans says, let God be true and every man a liar. And then secondly, people approach it by ridicule. Well, there may be a God, but it's silly to speculate about millions of disembodied spirits frying in a lake of fire somewhere. Or, this is the 21st century, y'all need to wake up. I've heard that. Robert Ingersoll said the idea of hell was born of revenge and brutality on the one side and cowardice on the other. He said, I have no respect for any man who preaches it. I dislike the doctrine, I hate it, I despise it, I defy this doctrine. Religion says there is a God, but he is a God of love, and therefore he would never and could never send anyone to hell. Now, that's a position for a lot of cults and liberal Christians, liberal believers, whatever you want to say. Cults say this, Christian Science says that hell is an era of the mortal mind. Jehovah's Witnesses say that the wicked will be annihilated. Mormonism says all will eventually be saved and will not suffer any eternal punishment. Seventh-day Adventists say God will someday blot out all their sins and the sinners and establish a clean universe once again. we have to listen to the very person who created hell to learn about hell and what God says about it. Now, first we read our text and we see that hell is a place of uninterrupted consciousness. When we meet the rich man, he's alive in this world. There are no rich men in heaven. They're all beggars. You realize when you read the text here, he says, and it came to pass in verse 22 that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now reading on, you'd see that the rich man would have paid every bit of his fortune, which was worthless in hell, for just one drop of water. The rich man was in hell. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. We'll deal with that in just a moment. But the rich man was uninterrupted in all of his consciousness. We know in verse 23, watch your Bible, and in hell he lift up his eyes. The people in hell can see. The rich man looks at his surroundings, his scalding tears. The passage is so clear. Here's a real man in a real place experiencing real torment. And this is a literal man in a literal body in a literal place called hell. Now notice with me in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Not only can they see, but they can hear. They hear the screams of millions of parched throats. Matthew 13 and verse 42 says, and he shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He hears his fellow sufferers moan and cry and curse and scream. People in hell can feel. There's no other passage, this passage is like no other in the Bible that illustrates for us the pain and the suffering that exist in hell. Hell is not a state of mind. It's a real place. It's a place where souls spend eternity in real torment. And notice a few truths that we reveal about hell. Hell is a place of punishment. Matthew 25 verse 41 says that Jesus is stating this. He said, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is a place of punishment. Not only that, but hell is a place of fire. We see that in verse 24 of Luke chapter 16. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Hell is a place of fire. Mark chapter 9 says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Hell is a place of thirst. We know that because with the text we just read, the rich man says, you send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger, that he might cool my tongue. Hell is a place of pain. We see that in verse 24. Watch your Bible. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 25, and Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse 28, for I have five brethren, the rich man says, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Three different passages here. Revelation chapter 14 in verses 10 through 11 says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixing into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels. Well, how on earth could God do such a thing? God is a holy and righteous judge. I will be standing before God one day, giving into an account to him on this message that I'm preaching to you. And whether or not you want to hear it, whether or not you think you need to hear it, whether or not it is popular or not, is irrelevant to the fact of my standing with God. Anyone who stands behind the sacred desk, the pulpit, is going to give an account for the messages that he preaches and the word of God that he delivers. And this is so valid to you.
whether you are born again or whether you are lost. We need a glimpse. We need a vision. We need a punctured of our spirit, if you will, in our minds of the glimpse of hell. If we could pull back the floorboards this morning, see the vision of hell, it would change the way we live. It would change the way we think. It would change the way we operate. It would change the way we're faithful in church. It would change the way we're faithful to our families. It would change the way we operate in our heart. It would change our prayer life. Hell is real. Yes, heaven is real, but my friend, hell is real. I have a cousin, family, that I know have died and gone to hell. I have a cousin that totally outright, time after time after time after time again, that rejected Christ as Savior and died from an overdose from drugs. He is this morning burning in the flames of hell. He looked me in the eye and said, I'm going to hell. And I had to deal with that for a long time after he died. It's not easy, or it should never be easy, knowing that you have a loved one in hell. If you are untouched by someone in your family going to a devil's hell, then my friend, your heart needs to be broken. The only way to do that is for God to break it. In the Old Testament, we hear the prophet Habakkuk cry out to God to remember mercy during a time when his wrath is going to be poured out in Habakkuk chapter 3. That's always been God's way. When he destroyed the earth in Genesis chapter 6, he extended grace. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He remembered mercy, and he placed a rainbow in the sky to declare his mercy. Even after the world rejected him, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. That's grace. That's unmerited favor. Mercy is him giving grace when we deserve punishment. The Lamb of God died in my place. I will never see hell. I will never taste hell. I will never experience hell because Christ purchased my redemption. He took my hell. I'm so thankful for that. Hell is a place of frustration and anger. The Bible says in Matthew 13 and verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51, the Bible says, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. They shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of eternal separation from God. As terrible as hell is a place of darkness. In hell there is no love. In hell there is no hope. In hell there is no beautiful flowers. In hell there is no environment that you enjoy. In hell there is no light. In hell there is only darkness. In hell there is no God. This world has never experienced a time, has never experienced an environment that there was no God. You understand that? You have never, even when you were lost before you accepted Christ, you have never experienced a time when this world was absent of God. But in hell, my friend, there is no God. And I submit to you that hell will not be hell because of the flames. Hell will not be hell because of the darkness. Hell is not hell because of the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is hell because there is no God. Hell is eternal separation from God. Listen, our nation today, we should be praying more so than ever for our nation. More so than ever for our world. More so than ever for the peace of Jerusalem. More so than ever for our leaders. Donald Trump is not going to fix our problems. God is the only one who can fix our problems. A total repentance toward God is the only thing that can fix America. Is the only thing that can fix the church. Now 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 8 and 9 says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Hell is a place of total separation from God. Some of you here this morning, you say, well, I'm born again, I'm saved. He's preaching this for the lost. No, I'm preaching because God told me to preach it. And he's preaching it to us as believers because we need a dose of reality. There is a place called hell. There is a terrible place called hell that those that reject Christ will go and will live eternally without God in total torment. And if that doesn't shake us, my friend, we need a revival. When you sit down and make your Christmas card list, when you sit down and make your Christmas present list, And you start going off all the people that you know and all the family members that you know. My friend, that is a good time to start praying for their salvation and say, God, please let them get saved. If they're saved already, glory to God. But I love them here on this earth. I do not want to be separated eternally from them. In hell, there is no good thing. There is no decent thing. Revelation 21 and verse 7, and there shall in no wise enter into that anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh the abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. There is no person that will enter heaven's glory that is not born again. Some say this world is hell. You're wrong. Oh, it might get bad here and it might get far worse, but some contend that what the Bible says about hell is purely symbolic. My friend, you better hope not. When the Bible uses symbolic language, it does so to describe things that are indescribable to our human minds. In other words, the reality is far more intense than the symbolic. If the Bible says what the Bible says about hell is symbolic, my friend, then hell is far worse than anything the Bible describes it as it is. However, the Bible uses very clear and plain language when we're talking about hell. Verse 24, notice in your Bible. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, not that he might bring a pitcher, that he might bring a soda, not that he might bring a Diet Dr. Pepper, but my friend, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water so that it might cool my tongue. People in hell can want. The rich man desired water. Apparently, those lost in hell will still have many of the same wants and desires that they do in this world. The Bible describes that in verse 24. We know that people in hell can remember. Notice with me in verse 25. Abraham said, son, remember. He's calling on the rich man to remember. So obviously, people in hell can remember. They remember every witness who ever came to them. Poor rich man. That's exactly what he is. The poor rich man. His money doesn't do him any good in hell. People in hell can remember. He remembers turning in a deaf ear to poor old Lazarus that's crying in pain or has great need. He remembers all the opportunities he's wasted. He remembers that he could have been born again. He remembers that he could have lived for Christ. He remembers in glaring detail of the truth that has now brought him here. My friend, notice in verse 25, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Hell is a place of memory and remorse. He experienced regret. He had memory. He felt guilt, no doubt. He felt remorse. If you think those things are bad here, just imagine what they must be like. Your heart is still beating here. You still have time to settle things with your fellow man. You still have time to settle things with the Lord. You'll still have opportunities today to make things right with the Lord. You still have opportunity today to do business with God. You still have the opportunity today to dedicate your life to Christ. Some of you are 50 and 60 and 70 years old, but you may never have dedicated the remainder of your years to serving Him in whatever capacity He wants you to serve. If the Lord wants you running a cash register, then do it for His glory. If the Lord wants you cutting meat, then do it for His glory. If the Lord wants you doing anything, do it for His glory. We're not going to be moved up on any ladder until God can trust us where we are. Now, hell is a place of uninterrupted consciousness, but also hell is a place of unanswered concern. This man is suddenly concerned about some things that probably never crossed his mind when he was alive. These things might have briefly crossed his radar from time to time, but he was not really concerned about them, that he had bigger fish to fry, and now he's concerned about life after death. Too late. Now he's very conscious. Now he's very concerned about the fact of life after death. My friend, you need to understand a few things. You're alive right now. You are alive right now. Decision-making time is right now. Your soul will continue to live forever somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. The Bible says that, confirms it, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the great white throne judgment. That is why you need to come to the Lord when He's still giving you a chance to do so. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, come everyone that thirsteth. The invitation is still there. Now he's concerned about repentance. This rich man is now all of a sudden concerned about repentance. Now this man probably never gave his sinful condition any thought at all. But he cries out to Abraham, Father Abraham. And it seems now he's finally interested in making some decisions in his life, but it's way too late. My friends, thoughts of repentance and of dealing with your sins might not enter your mind often. But I want to remind you that there will come a day when it will be too late to get things right with the Lord. And there will come a day when you will leave this world, and how you stand on that day is how you will enter eternity. Now the rich man is concerned that others miss hell. All of a sudden, he's become a soul winner. Father Abraham, you send Lazarus and you have him go talk to my five brethren so that they don't have to come to this place. While he was alive, he lived like he wanted to, and God allowed it. This man, no doubt, had every opportunity to make a decision that would affect his eternal outcome. Yet now he sees that, and now he wants to make a decision, and now it's too late. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've stood by the deathbed of numerous people who have died and slipped off into heaven in my presence, and I've stood and I've seen people who have slipped off into hell in my presence, and my friend, there is a huge difference. I've seen people that literally are ready and just raising their arms up to heaven. There's a huge smile on their face, and they're saying, oh, look at all this glorious light. I look up there, and there's nothing up there but ceiling. And all of a sudden, they're gone, and they're in the presence of the Lord. I've been in the deathbed of some people that have gone and slipped into hell that told me that they never would get saved. And I've heard, but I have seen them in every instance, in every case, laying in their bed, and then saying, get it off! Get it off! Get it off! Get off! Talking about the flames, talking about the darkness. You say you're just trying to preach for a decision. No, I'm giving you a testimony. I've been there. Hell is real. To every action, there is a equal and opposite reaction. If there is a heaven, there has to be. It's inevitable. There has to be a hell. If there is a top, there has to be a bottom. If there's a right, there has to be a left. There are principles in life that never change. The same way with hell. If there is a heaven, there is a hell. It's real. Unanswered concerns, but not only that, hell is a place of unshakable conviction. Notice with me in verse 23. 5 seconds after death, the rich man was convinced of some things that may have been unclear to him before he died. Verse 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, many people see this, and they see a story from Jesus. But when you talk about a parable, definition of a parable is neither an earthly teaching to show a heavenly point. But the one thing you'll notice in a parable, Jesus never calls out the name of a person. Here he does. He calls Lazarus by name. Don't wait till you discover that essential fact. There are no philosophical debates ranging within the heart of this man concerning the existence of hell. He's thoroughly convinced that hell is real. Now notice with me verses 22 and 23. We've already read it, but I want you to see out of here that hell is not the grave. This man knows for sure that hell is not the grave. He dies, he's buried in verse 22. Immediately he finds himself in verse 23 in the flames of hell. Verse 24 teaches us that hell is not annihilation. The man knows that hell does not spell the end of man's existence as many groups teach. He knows for sure that this man, we know for sure that this man doesn't merely burn up like a broom, a field of straw. He knows that the soul lives on forever in hell when he dies in unbelief. Now notice with me in verse 24, he knows that a loving God will allow men to go to hell. That's one of the strong arguments that you will hear from lost people today and many groups that do not believe in hell. You will hear, well, God's a loving God. God could never send anyone to hell. The man never had, he now has no doubts that God will allow man to follow his unbelief all the way to hell. Proverbs 16 and verse 25 states that. Some people say that hell cannot possibly be real since a loving God can never allow people to go there. But also something we need to learn, verses 26 and 20 through 28, hell is not purgatory. The rich man is convinced that he will remain there forever. His grand request is that Lazarus would go and be a witness to his brothers. He knows that he will never be permitted to leave those torments. He will never be permitted to leave the flames of hell. So we have uninterrupted consciousness. We have unanswered concerns. We have unshakable convictions. Those are the things you find in hell. And finally, hell is a place of unending condemnation. There will be no more chances. No more chances in hell. While he lived, the rich man led a luxurious life, yet he had the same opportunities that Lazarus had. They both had a testimony of the law of God. Read John chapter 5 and verse 39 and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. They both had a upbringing, a testimony of the law of God. They both had the revelation of God in creation. They both had light, John 1:9. They both had a choice to make. And apparently, Lazarus chose to place his faith in God. While the rich man embraced unbelief, he placed his trust in his riches, in his power, in his self. The rich man chose to sin over the Savior. He's in hell, and he's in a place where God will never call on him again. God will never bother him again. The next call he will get will be the summons to go to the great white throne in Revelation chapter 20. After that, he will get one small reprieve when he stands before God of punishment, and then he will be cast in Gehenna, the lake of fire, where he will burn and he will suffer and he will be tormented forever and forever and forever. No one will ever sing a gospel song for him again. No one will ever give him a gospel track again. No one will ever invite him to church again. No one will ever plead with his soul again. You're under the sound of my voice right now. Don't let that be you. God's given you opportunity, if you're here today and you're lost, God's given you opportunity to hear the Word of God, the dangers of hell, exactly where a soul winds up for rejecting Christ. Someone said the other day, not exactly true, a person will die and go to hell, and in hell they will pay for their sins forever. If you had a million lifetimes, you could never pay for your sin, whether you're in heaven or hell on earth. You go to hell because you reject Christ. You go to hell because you reject Christ. I didn't say that. He said that. For the wages of sin, you will get recompense for your wages. If you work, you don't work anywhere for free or you wouldn't show up. If you work, you get recompensed. You get payment for it. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, I now enjoy the blessings that goes along with the gift. However, if I had rejected Christ as my Savior, then I would have had a wage as well. I would have had a wage that I would have received. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ no more, our Lord. No more changes you can make once you're in hell. Let me close with this. On one occasion, Robert Ingersoll, he was a great, I'll say great, he's great in many eyes as far as a lecturer. He was an agnostic of the last century. He was going to give an address in a ballroom on hell. He declared that he would prove conclusively that hell was a wild dream of some scheming theologians who invented it to terrify people into making a decision. And as he was launching into his subject, a half-drunk man rose in front of the audience, and he screamed out to him. He said, "Make it strong, Bob. There's a lot of people here, poor fellows, depending on you, and if you're wrong, we're all lost. So be sure to prove it clear and plain." No amount of human reasoning can change what God said in His Word. Now, if you've never been saved, you can be saved. The invitation is there. I invite you today, accepted Christ as Savior. Would you please, you can be saved. You can be born again. You can miss hell forever. And if you have been born again, why don't you ask God to give you at least three names right now that you can pray for? You may be the only person who will pray for them to be saved.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.